Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With their exclusive Easy Lease, you make no down payment and save up to 50% every month on your car payment. Plus, for a limited time only, D&M Leasing is offering no payments for 90 days. That's 3 months, folks. That's no payments until August. Don't get locked into an 84-month finance contract. D&M is proud to offer rebates and special pricing directly to the customer. Call D&M Leasing today at 713-290-1000 or check them out online at dmautoleasing.com.
Jerry Reynolds, the Car Pro, here for you. I'm proud of every one of our CarPro USA certified dealers for immediately doing whatever it takes to make sure that you get your car in a sanitary, clean, and safe environment. Or how you can do everything off-site and online. Because of the coronavirus situation, it's a true buyer's market. Yes, you can buy a car from a dealer that cares about you. Go to CarProUSA.com.
CarProUSA.com.
Your home's guaranteed to sell or we'll buy it. Visit thelocumgroup.com, your real estate solution.
KILT, KILT FM HD2, Houston. A radio.com sports station. And your home of the Houston Texans.
Touchdown, Houston.
Houston sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
Kicking off your 4th of July weekend. Here's Adam Spillane and Wade Smith.
Hey, you with the C-section and no kids. It's going down.
Last hour for me on Sports Radio 610. Wade will stick around and Travis Johnson will join him. Hope you're having a good start to your 4th of July weekend. Late last night, some stuff broke. And it's one of those wild rumors that gained some steam. And it got started by a guy named Ben Stevens, who is a, basically he has a podcast about the Big Ten.
Yeah.
So that's where this whole thing started. And actually, I had heard
super
something.
Super random.
I had heard
that guy
something,
got the scoop.
Hey, that's scoops like that, they tend to happen from random people. Trust me, I can tell you firsthand.
Yeah.
But I had actually heard something about this on Wednesday. So this thing, Ben Stevens last night tweets that the Texans are doing their due diligence on Antonio Brown, and that it's a possibility that he could join the Texans. And then Chad Johnson says AB to the Texans. And then Deshaun Watson starts getting in on the mix with the social media. And so now there's some fire to everything. I don't know if it's actually true, but we do need to talk about it. Because obviously Antonio Brown is a massive name in the sport, one of the most productive wide receivers of the last decade. And he would be a, from a football sense, a good addition. But does he make sense for the Texans?
So this is the thing, man. When you start to hear rumors like this, you think to yourself, people are full of it. There's no way that this is a reality type situation. But I think back to the whole ordeal with DeAndre Hopkins. And when the initial rumors came out that they were looking at shopping DeAndre Hopkins, and I was like, man, nah, this can't be real. There's no way they're gonna get rid of D-Hop. Doesn't make any sense. And we were talking about it. Matter of fact, on one of these shows, I can't remember which show I was on. We might have been talking about it on Smitty and Trap. And literally, like within 24 hours of the rumors popping off on Twitter, it came down and it actually happened. And so I don't put anything past Bill O'Brien. I don't put anything past the Texans right now, because as John McClain calls him, he's Trader Bill. And so he's going to try to figure out a way to move people. Somebody is going to have to be moved if they were to bring Antonio Brown onto this roster because there's no space for him right now. You have too many legitimate receivers that you I mean, right now you have four legitimate targets at the receiver position. If you add another one at the level of Antonio Brown, somebody's going to have to go. Well, there was rumors before that, you know, the New York Giants, or excuse me, the New York Jets safety, Jamal Adams, was looking to possibly come to Houston. The Texans do have a spot at safety that is not solidified. You know, you have Justin Reed. They signed Eric Murray, but what do we know about Eric Murray? There would be a potential landing spot for Jamal Adams if he came here. It's a lot of conjecture, but if AB coming to Texans became a real thing, somebody from the receiver position would have to go, and you could maybe think, all right, maybe they can figure out a way to move a couple of their pieces, or a piece here and a draft pick there, which they don't have many of, but to get a Jamal Adams in here to help on defense, but then also you'd be Gucci on offense if you got Antonio Brown. And this is not even talking about all of the baggage that comes with Antonio Brown and all the issues that he's had off the field. Would he be a fit from that perspective? And so it's smoke here because certain people within, because Deshaun Watson put his meme of Drake out there, it's something that you have to talk about, but I still, it's one of those things I believe in when I see it.
So the pros for Antonio Brown are that he's an exceptional receiver.
Yeah.
And even we didn't see much of him. We basically saw one game last year, and he was very good in that game. And so you figure that the talent is still there, even though he's a little bit older and he hasn't played much, but you still think he's there. The cons, he might be crazy, yeah, and he's being investigated by the NFL for sexual assault. So you don't even know if he would even be available to you if you did sign him. I wouldn't want any part of him, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Just all you have to do is see how he handled himself in Oakland. He was on his best behavior in New England, but that didn't last very long still. So I think as a player, I'll ask you, as a player, do you want him?
Do I want Antonio Brown on my team?
If you were on that team right now, if you're in that locker room right now, would you say, yes, let's go get Antonio Brown?
Well, I think I look at it like this. If there's any truth to sexual assault allegations, I don't want that dude on my team. I don't want to play next to that type of guy. You know, if you're a type of person that either beats on, like anything that you're doing, you know, beating on women or sexual assault, anything like that, I don't want you around me. The other stuff, that like him just, you know, the goofy stuff he does on social media where he's, you know, he's doing rap videos and all that, I don't really care about all that stuff. So if it came out that the charges that were made against him were bogus, which happens, that's not a rare occurrence when it comes to professional athletes and just people in general. Sometimes stories will get made up or things will get exaggerated. If that's the case and it's proven that it's untrue, then sign him up. Anything besides that, if there's any doubt to it, or there's something that says that he did do those things, or maybe through conversations with various people in the locker room, and you know, like, yeah, AB did that stuff, then I wouldn't want him around because I don't like to be around those type of people anyway. You know what I mean? So I definitely don't want you to be in my locker room, because my locker room was full of people that I consider my brothers. We're family. And so I wouldn't want that type of element in there. But as we know, this is America and you're innocent until proven guilty. And so right now, there's an investigation going on, apparently. I haven't even kept up with that side of it because he's been out of the league for so much time, and it seemed like an investigation would be done by now. But if he's still in an investigation, it's almost like a wait-and-see situation. And I don't think the Texans could actually sign him until the investigation was done. But I don't even know that that's actually true, that he's still in an investigation. I haven't heard that.
I think they could sign him, but I think the NFL would actually have to clear him to be able to play in games.
Right, but I don't think he's still under investigation.
The story I read said that he was still being investigated by the league. Not by the police. He's being investigated by the league.
So what did the police say with his deal? If the police said, if there was no charges.
I don't even know what the police said.
Yeah, so to me, that's the part that I care about. Like, if the league is investigating him to see if maybe he did something that was conduct detrimental to the league, that's one thing. If you did something criminal, that's another. So if you did something criminal, in that type of criminal act, there's certain criminal acts that get done where you just be like, all right, he made a mistake. when you make that type of criminal act where you're harming a woman, I'm off of you. So I don't want to have you in my locker room at all. But if there's investigation by the league and maybe they're saying he did something improper, but it wasn't criminal, then that's up to the league. But I don't mind him being on the team. You have teammates that get popped for PEDs and stuff like that. That's a league deal. And, you know, they come back from him and you step them back in as your teammate.
Let's talk football-wise with him. Obviously, he's really good. How does he fit with the receivers that they already have? How do they complement him, I guess, would be the best way to put it, because he's better than all of them.
Well, yeah, he is better than all of them. So, he's not going to fit into anything. He's going to be the number one receiver. Brandon Cooks has been in situations where he's been the number two or the number one, and so he would be able to adapt. But you got Will Fuller, and you still got Cobbs. What are you going to do with all of these players? And who's the other? I'm missing somebody.
Stills.
Yeah. Kenny Stills. Like, somebody's got to go. Like,
see, I disagree with that. Now those guys might not
have, you're going to have all five of those guys on the roster.
Yeah. They might not all be happy, but you've seen it already where it's attrition. There's attrition and you see guys go down all the time. And we saw it in the postseason last year where Fuller was hurt. They were shorthanded receiver-wise towards the end of the year, even with the guys that they had. And you're dealing with an offseason that is very strange, and you're dealing with injuries are going to happen because they happen in sports, and guys might not be as prepared as they normally have been going into a season. Plus, you have the coronavirus aspect of everything where that's just another injury essentially waiting to happen. I think you need as many good players as possible. So now it's just a matter of if this happens and you have the five together, can all five coexist and be happy?
No.
That's the hard part.
No. And that's part of that's you have to take that into account when you're trying to determine how you build your roster. The roster chemistry is extremely important. Like, you got to understand that Kenny Stills is on the last year of his deal. You got to understand that Brandon Cooks is basically on the last year of his deal. You got to understand that Will Fuller is on the last year of his deal. All of these guys are trying to have good seasons so they can get a big payday. Kenny Stills is trying to get his last payday. Will Fuller is trying to get his first big payday. Brandon Cooks is trying to get another payday. You know, because and Randall Cobb is the only one that, you know, got his payday and he's here and he's going to be here for the next, you know, few years. If you add Antonio Brown into the mix, they would bring him in at a very low rate. It's going to be a contract that is incentive laden. And so if he's not getting his opportunities to get catches, he's going to be upset. If you use him like you're supposed to use him, which of course they would, there's going to be one of those other three guys that are on the last year of their deals that are going to need to have a productive season in order to be successful. They're going to have issues with it. It just, there's no way possible I could see that working. And you don't need five receivers to that caliber on one roster. One or two of those guys you need to let go. Because you mind you now, you still have Kiki QT, who is a guy on the roster that can play. You know what I mean? You talk about the attrition and losing players. Like, he can play. He had a down year last year, but you saw that he showed flashes that he could play at a very high level. You have to balance your roster. You have five receivers at that caliber. You're going to have one of them each game that's going to be inactive. Like, which guy are you going to tell you're not going to play this game? Because they're not playing special teams. Those guys are not going to be special teams guys running down there covering kicks. I just don't see that. So I don't – one of those guys at least would have to go if you brought in Antonio Brown.
Okay. I think that – with the way the NFL is, you need as many receivers as possible. And now,
can you give me an example of any other team that did it that way?
I think that it is pretty normal, though, to have five active receivers. Now, it's a little different for them because they do have a lot of tight ends, and they've gone pretty tight end heavy.
Five active receivers, but the last two usually aren't good. They're special teams guys. We're talking about five receivers that are on the level. You go from the top receiver being Antonio Brown and the worst receiver is Randall Cobb or maybe Kenny Stills. Can you give me any time?
Not off the top of my head, no.
You wouldn't get off the top of your head, but that's part of there's a reason why it's never happened before.
But,
that's all I'm saying.
But isn't that the case, though, for everything? There's a reason. There's always a reason why you can't do something, but sometimes you got to go with the reason why you should do something. Like, you look at how some offenses are run, there's always been reasons why this offense wasn't run before, but it doesn't mean that you can't give it a shot. And I think for me personally, you have a head coach whose position is always, it always feels tenuous. Because
Bill O'Brien?
Yeah. It feels a little tenuous. Like if he were to have a bad year,
nothing happens. I don't know where we're getting this from. Bill O'Brien?
I
ain't going nowhere.
I always feel like there's always that possibility. Like if you have a bad year, that something could go wrong. So
I know there's a lot of fans out there that hope.
Yeah,
that,
and that's why.
I don't think it's
at what point does all. Because you saw it with Gary Kubiak. Gary Kubiak won the division two straight years and got fired the year after that. So it does happen. It's not like it's impossible. It does happen if you have some sort of a disastrous year.
Well, you got to understand that Gary Kubiak situation is a little bit different. He was about to get fired in 2010, and they gave him one more shot. And then he won the divisions mm-hmm. back-to-back years. And then the following year, he almost died on the field. And so I think there was an element there of them trying to get rid of Gary Kubiak because it was the best thing for Gary Kubiak. There was an element to that as well because he was working 20-hour days or whatever it was, and he wasn't sleeping. And so they wanted him to step away from the game. He wasn't 2-14 when he got fired. I think we were like 2-9 when he got fired.
It was with three games left.
Three games. So we were
2-11. Yeah.
2-11. And he also went against what the ownership wanted by playing Matt Schaub. And so because he gave us the best chance to win at that time. And he just went against what the powers that be said. So it's a little bit different. Bill O'Brien, I don't believe, is going anywhere anytime soon.
I'm just saying because it's not going to cost you anything money-wise. So from a cap standpoint, it doesn't hurt you. But if the excuse is we don't want to have too many good players, then that's not a good excuse to not do something. That being said, I wouldn't want to deal with Antonio Brown.
Well, see, it is a good excuse to do something if it's going to mess up the chemistry of your team. And it's going to mess up the chemistry of your team. Your fifth receiver should not be making $8 million. You know what I mean? What is Randall Cobb making this year? I think $8 million. That your fifth receiver should not be making $8, $9 million.
I don't know.
It just doesn't make any sense. It's never been done before. And so it's never been done before, and it doesn't seem like a good idea. I know in theory it's like, okay, you want to have as many good guys on the team as you can, but – good luck with that, making it actually work in reality. It just doesn't make sense.
I always like the never can be done before because there's always a time where it was never done before and somebody gave it a try and it might not work. It might blow up in your face, but I'm always willing to give stuff a shot. We'll continue this maybe. We do need something for the last segment. Maybe we'll continue with that coming up in the last segment. But when we come back, there could be fines. If the NFL decides to institute some sort of an individual team bubble, players could get fined if they leave that bubble. When we come back, Smitty's going to tell you what he thinks about that.
Kicking off your 4th of July weekend, here's Adam Spillane and Wade Smith.
Back on Sports Radio 610, Adam Spillane, Wade Smith. We are here, or I am here until 10. Wade, you're here till 12?
We'll be here till 1 o'clock. Okay. Smitty and Trap Show will start at 10 o'clock this morning. We'll go to 1 o'clock and we'll take you to our guy Sean Majani, and Cecil Shorts will be here from 1 o'clock to 6 o'clock.
Okay.
So we got you locked in for your 4th of July weekend here on Sports Radio 610.
All right, so NFL training camps are supposed to start July 28th, I believe is the start date. And I believe that's a uniform date across the NFL. NFL teams basically haven't been able to do anything as a group. They've been able to do virtual stuff. That's kind of been the difference between the lockout, is that in the lockout, you could not have any contact with your players. At least you're able to have contact, just not in person.
Yeah.
But the NFL, and this is the one thing that hasn't been talked about with the NFL, about the health stuff, with what everyone is dealing with the coronavirus. And so the NFL, I think, is still trying to figure out exactly how to balance trying to have a season in the middle of a pandemic with a league that you have teams of, you have a 53-man roster, and you're already seeing it where your normal training camp roster consists 90 guys. You're not going to have that. I think you might go 75 is what teams are looking at right now. You're not going to have your four preseason games. You might have two at this point. But then what happens with players once they leave the facility every single day? You see it in the NBA where it's going to be a controlled environment in Orlando. Major League Baseball, those guys are going to get to go home. So what happens with the NFL? And they are talking about possibly having some sort of a bubble. And if they do this, players could get fined for leaving. And Smitty, you have a pretty strong opinion on this.
Well, see, this is my thing. Like, I hate the idea of players giving money away and fines. I never want to take money out of players' pockets. But in this case, I think it's going to be absolutely necessary in order to be a strong deterrent against guys making bad decisions. There's going to be mature players on the team that are going to be able to be disciplined, and it's not going to be much of an issue for them, and they're going to be smart and keep themselves out of bad situations to where they might contract the coronavirus. There are going to be guys, younger guys, are going to be guys that just aren't as mature that you're going to need to give them some type of deterrent to keep them from it. And it's also going to be, if you have the fines going away, like when I played in the league, anytime it came to training camp, you always got, and you knew in the back of your mind, if I lose my playbook, that's $5,000 gone, right? That's a huge deterrent to make sure that guys are going to always have their playbook with them at all time, because if you lose it, it's going to cost you thousands and thousands of dollars. And especially during the training camp, because you're not getting paid hardly anything anyway. So you're basically working for free. And so that was a deterrent. To me, this is going to be necessary to appease one another. Like, if I know that my teammate is going to have consequences and repercussions for breaking the bubble and having reckless behavior, I'll have more trust that the guy next to me is actually doing what they're supposed to do. Because there's going to be certain guys on my team that I know are going to do things the right way anyway, but there's going to be other guys that might be super talented but lack maturity and are going to make bad decisions, or sometimes they're just flighty and don't pay attention to what's going on. There's an example with the boxer that just had a fight a few days ago where his dad left the bubble floor in the hotel, went downstairs in the lobby without a mask on, and because of that, he broke the protocol and he couldn't be there for the match, right? Well, that, I don't think that was something that was intentional. I don't think it was something that was malicious, but he just made a mistake. Well, if that dad would have known it's going to cost me money, he might have thought first before going downstairs, you know what I mean, before making that decision. And so anytime that you take money out of people's pockets, it gets their attention. And so if it's a significant enough fine, I think it can help deter guys from making that mistake.
So the way it's going to work in the NBA, you cannot leave the campus, is what they're calling it, without permission. Now, if you leave, if they give you permission and you leave, and when you come back, you have to quarantine for X amount of days. With the NFL, or with this sort of a situation, as long as you get it cleared before, then at least I think that's a way that you can go.
Yeah.
Just get it cleared, because the problem that you have is, okay, I leave, but if I come back and I don't tell anyone that I left and I'm going into these meetings like it's business as usual, mm-hmm. then that's when you're putting everyone at risk. And that's when you have the possibility of an outbreak.
Yeah, and you're breaking the trust of your teammates.
Yes.
If I'm conducting myself in a certain manner to make sure that I don't contract anything so that I don't spread it to the people around me, I expect you to do me the same courtesy. And if you're not doing it, that's going to cause issues in the locker room. Like, man, what are you doing? Because there's times, just me as a former player, just being a dad living in my neighborhood, if I see people doing reckless behavior, I'm like, they're tripping, first of all, and don't come over here with me with that, because now that's going to cause the issue. Like, man, you need to move around, like get from around me. And so, you know, if they're doing reckless behavior around you, they're probably doing reckless behavior when they're not around you. And if you're in a meeting room with these people, or you're on the football field with these people for an extended period of time, the chances of you catching the disease goes up exponentially. And now if we get it, that's a couple of weeks that I'm out. That's a couple of weeks that I'm not able to live out my dream, and I have to quarantine. And then I have to quarantine myself from my own family. Like, there's a lot to it. Like, you're risking players' families at home, their extended family. Like, there's a lot to it. And so implementing fines, I think that's a reasonable way to go.
And then also, you talk about from a family sense, but also just from a team sense. Let's say you sneak off for a night. You come back, you get infected, and you're in a meeting room, and now you're infecting six of your teammates. That hurts your team. And so now that hurts everyone else on the roster, and that might kill off an entire game for you.
It could potentially kill off an entire position group.
Yeah.
Like you're talking about, you love the idea of the Texans having five big time receivers, right? But what if one of them goes out and catches some?
What if one of them is crazy and makes a poor choice,
comes back, and now the whole position group is gone, and now you got all these great players, but they can't play because they're having a quarantine. And so that's gonna be the most significant factor with NFL teams right now, is can you trust the guy next to you to do it the right way? And can you guys keep yourself healthy so that you can give yourself a shot to win week in and week out? Because if quarterbacks, they're going to treat them like kings. You know what I mean? Like, there's going to be so much protection around their every move to make sure that the Pat Mahomes and the Deshaun Watsons are isolated from any kind of potential issues. Because if you lose that guy for a couple of weeks, you're basically saying you're going to lose a game or two. You know what I mean? Or more than that. And so in the NFL, every game is so important. You don't want to lose people for something like the coronavirus. Like, you don't understand that injuries are part of the game, but that just adds to it. So I think it's a huge part of the team that ends up coming out of this and has the most success. The team that's more disciplined, the most mature, makes the best decisions, that team is going to give itself the best chance to win a Super Bowl.
There are going to be a lot of protocols and guidelines, and I do want to go through them with you, but I think we'll do that after the break, because it hasn't been talked about a lot in the NFL, the health guidelines that these teams are going to go through. And I remember John Harbaugh said that it's kind of crazy what they're having to do, and you haven't had teams together yet. And it just, I don't know how you feel about it, but it just seems hard to fathom that you're going to be able to get a 75-man roster together and have a normal training camp. Plus you have 20-something coaches. You have, I think the Texans have 21 members on their medical team. That's a lot of people that you're trying to get together, and it just seems like it's going to be almost impossible to get done. I don't know. Am I crazy in thinking that the NFL is in a really tough spot right now?
No, you're not crazy to think that at all, but that is the times we live in today. They're going to have to figure it out. If they want to play football this year, they're going to have to figure it out, and sacrifices are going to have to be made. And mistakes are going to be made. Nobody's perfect. People are going to make mistakes. People are going to catch the coronavirus. Their response to it, how they overcome it as a league, each individual organization, that's going to be the reason or the way that they'll be able to have the ability to continue and go forward as a league and as each organization. Their protocols and procedures they have in place once somebody catches it, and to minimize the spread so it doesn't spread to entire position groups, entire offense, entire defense, whatever that may be, that is going to be what is going to be the deciding factor for these teams.
Hey, when we come back, I want to go through some of the guidelines with Wade. I want to know what he thinks. I also want to know, would he opt out? Would he at all think about opting out of playing the 2020 season if he were still in the NFL? That's next on Sports Radio 610. Back on Sports Radio 610, last segment for me. I just said something that just made Wade incredulous. We'll get to that towards the end of the segment. It's the times that we are in are strange, and you are seeing guys in the NBA opt out. And I'm not saying that I thought that he would. I'm curious, and because I asked Eric Gordon this the other day. I asked Eric Gordon, did you think about opting out of this thing? Like, was this an easy decision for you to do this in Orlando? And he said, no, it was a tough decision.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm surprised that more guys didn't opt out, just because you are asking guys to leave their families for as long as 4 months. And I think that's a really tough decision to make. And so I'm going to ask you this question. If you were in the same spot, would you have opted out? So answer that. Would you have opted out?
No, I wouldn't. I would have played for sure.
Would you have thought about it at all?
And you know what? I would have played. I would have thought about it. It just depends on what part of my career I was and how good my team was. If I thought I had a legitimate shot to win a championship, I'm going to sacrifice whatever it takes to win that championship. And so if that's time away from my family, that's time away from my family. If I feel like they're in any kind of danger, then they're not going to come visit me. They're going to stay at home and continue to quarantine and stay and, you know, stay at home and stay away from people and keep them safe. But you're willing to sacrifice a lot in order to win a championship. That's the whole point of you playing the game. And so I would be surprised. Like you mentioned in the break that you're surprised that Russell Westbrook decided.
I didn't say I was surprised. I said it wrong. I'm surprised, and I don't know this because he hadn't talked to us.
Yeah.
I'm curious to know from him if he did think about opting out.
Of course you would think about it, but at the end of the day, if you're a competitor and you know you have a great opportunity to win, you'll be able to sacrifice time with your family for a few months as opposed to your whole life potentially living with regret because you didn't actually try. You know what I mean? That is something you don't want to have to live with and say, I'm not going to try. I'm going to just sit at home and not play when I have a golden opportunity sitting in front of you. And all of those guys in that locker room are counting on you. You understand? Like when you play on a professional team, everybody has their role. And when you're somebody at the caliber of Russell Westbrook, James Harden, guys like that, everybody knows that the team is going to go as you guys go. And if you remove yourself from the team, then we don't have a shot. Now that affects the livelihoods and the lives of everybody else around you. You know what I mean? And so like people's lives change trajectories based off of one person leaving. I have a perfect example of that. Ricky Williams in 2004 was our bell cow running back for the 2 years before that. My rookie year, he had over 1,000 yards. He got me a nice watch. I'm very thankful for all that. The next season, our offense is built around Ricky Williams. He decides to leave because, you know, he had to get his mind right. He had this whole ordeal with, you know, he failed marijuana tests. He didn't want it to come out, so he just decides to retire. He leaves and goes away, and the team is just sitting there like, damn, now what are we going to do? The whole team was built around him. It would be like Deshaun Watson tomorrow just saying like, hey, I need to get my mind right and leaving. What would the Texans look like without Deshaun Watson? And so what would the Houston Rockets look like without Russell Westbrook? Those superstar type of guys that are on really good ball clubs, it would be highly, highly surprising to me if they opted out. And especially when you look at Russell Westbrook's career and the fact that he has not won a championship yet and he has a legitimate chance to do it this year, he's definitely going to opt in. And I personally would have opted in, especially my years here with the Texans, because I felt like we had a championship caliber ball club. And I was a veteran on the team and a leader on the team, so I was definitely going to be in.
So what were there years where you would have said, no, this isn't for me?
So when I played for the New York Jets, my second year with the Jets, that was probably, I think we went 4-12 that year. But going into that season, we had went to the playoffs we had beat New England that season during the regular mm-hmm. season, went to the playoffs, lost to New England on the road in the first round of the playoffs, but we thought you had a good team coming back. But at that point in my career, I would have contemplated it because I was living in New York. My family was living in Texas. And so if you're in the middle of a pandemic, you're worried about, are they protected? Are they good? You want to be home with your family. So from that end, that aspect, I would have might have said, you know what, maybe I need to be home with my family because I don't know what's going on. And I was more immature at that time. I didn't know a lot of things at that time. I was only like my fourth or fifth year in my career. And so at that time, it might have been a legitimate thought. But based off of the fact that we had done so well the year before, I would have went into that season and been like, yeah, we got to do it. And my wife is one of those type of people that would have been like, baby, don't stay here with us. I got this. I can hold this down. Don't worry about that side of it. Go do what you love. You know what I mean? And you're hearing stories about that. I think it was Joe Ingles.
Yeah.
His wife basically talked him into it. You need to go. Because they understand that a good wife, a good spouse will tell you, like, listen, I don't want to be the reason that you don't go do what you love and enjoy. Because you're going to bring that resentment home with you if that's the case. So going on. And then plus some of these wives, and my wife is the same way, they don't want dad around all the damn time because we get on people's nerves because our type A personalities don't always mesh well with being at home all the damn time. You need to go out and work. And so, I really, as I'm talking through it, I can't see a scenario where I would be like, no, I'm not going to play.
Okay. I want to go through some of these protocols that the NFL may wind up instituting. I want to know what you think about them. All right. The first one, some meetings could be potentially held in person, but only smaller ones. Most meetings will be conducted virtually.
yeah, that's kind of par for the course right now for what they've been doing. They've been doing Zoom meetings, you know, every day, it seems like, over the past few weeks, trying to install offenses and things of that nature. But it's going to affect the product. It's going to affect the chemistry. It's going to affect the gameplay if they cannot meet in person, do walkthroughs, actually perform on the field together. Fortunately, everybody is under the same set of rules, or unfortunately, depending on how you look at it. But those type of virtual trainings, while they help, they're not the full Monty, and you're going to see guys not be on the same page early on.
Teams will limit access to the facility to essential employees only, and facilities will be cleaned and disinfected around the clock. Let me ask you, who do you consider to be essential with an NFL team?
Any people that are like with the training staff, the people that cook food, the people that like if you're somebody that works in the office and you cut checks, like if you can do your job from home and stay at home, I would be a big fan of them saying there's only essential workers in there, because now I know that the people that are here, there's not as many opportunities for there to be a contamination. That's all you're trying to do is mitigate risk. I mean, there's no foolproof way, but the less people that are here, the less possibilities of there being a huge outbreak. And so sometimes when you're playing for NFL team, depending on what team you're on, there'll be random people walking around that you're like, who the hell is that? What are they doing here? People doing tours and stuff like that. They're not going to be having tours at facilities. They're not going to be having business people coming to do meetings and just come by and see the locker room. All that stuff's going to be eliminated. You're going to be there. And if you're there, you're there to prepare so that you can play football. So from that standpoint, I like that you're eliminating some distractions.
Was there a time, I mean, obviously there were, but was there like a specific time that you can remember? You get into the locker room and you just see a bunch of random people. You have no idea who these people are. What are they doing here?
Every time we have media scrums after practice. Like, what are y'all doing?
We are essential. We are essential people.
I mean, if they had Zoom press conference back in the day, I'm sure there'd be a lot of guys that would have jumped at the chance of that, as opposed to walking through the locker room and there's a bunch of, you know, men and women just standing there milling about waiting for us to get showered and changed. Like, that part, I think guys are going to relish the fact that they don't have to deal with that part of it. But yeah, man, there's times that you'll just, like, the thing about an NFL facility is, like, this person could look random to you, but they might be like the cousin of the owner. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so you're on your best behavior at all times because you don't know who you're interacting with and who these people are and what they mean to the organization. I think these rules are going to eliminate a lot of that, but those are really secondary and just really non-starter type of issues when you're talking about your day-to-day interactions at the facility.
I'll tell you a story about a random person type thing where you don't know who it is. Actually, I have two, but I'll tell you one. So there is a pitcher in the Rockies organization. This was this might have been 10 years ago. He's walking to the spring training complex in Tucson.
Uh-huh.
And there's this guy driving a car kind of like right behind him, and he kind of yells at this guy in the car. He didn't know who he was. Turned out it was one of the baseball ops people. Guy got released.
Yeah.
Right off the bat, he got released.
You got to be on your best behavior sometimes. I mean, there's guys that might see an attractive woman and be like, man, who is that? Mm-hmm. And it ends up being like, that's your teammate's wife, or that's the coach's wife, or that's the head scout, the scouting director, that's his daughter or something like that. Like, you just don't know who you're gonna come across in an NFL facility.
I can tell you there is an assistant GM in baseball who would walk around the complex in a disguise and watch drills. And a pitching coach got fired.
What kind of disguise was he putting on?
I was told he was dressed with a wig.
Okay.
A wig and like a tracksuit. And he's watching a drill.
Uh-huh.
And it was a PFP drill, a pitcher's fielding practice drill.
Uh-huh.
And the coach who was running the drill was barely even trying. That coach got fired.
Interesting. I mean, you got to be on the P's and Q's at all times. Listen. It's a cutthroat business, and if you don't handle your business, you'll be gone sooner than later. But these rules that you're having in place right now, they're going to eliminate a lot of extra people that you don't know in the facilities. And from that regard, I don't think it's such a bad thing.
you talked about media access. It'll be controlled. So media access is expected to be limited. Media would be required to go through the same testing protocols as players and other personnel, and media interviews are only likely to be conducted virtually rather than in person.
So now I got to ask you this question. Okay. Would you be willing to go through getting coronavirus tests every time that you come into the building, go through all of their protocols to get your job done each and every day?
Probably. I will tell you, and I went through this with Brandon before you got here, about the guidelines for the group of reporters that will be allowed in the bubble in the NBA. I'd have done that. I probably would have done it.
Yeah. What kind of protocols do they have going on?
This is the group one. These are the guys who are going to be allowed inside the bubble, the media guys inside the bubble in Orlando. First of all, it's going to cost $550 a day because you're staying in a hotel.
Costs who? The organization that's paying for you to be there?
Yeah. Okay. So $550 a day.
Yeah.
So upon arrival in Orlando, you quarantine for 7 days. When you get to Orlando, you are quarantined for 7 days in your hotel room. You cannot leave your hotel room for 7 days. Obviously,
I hope these are some nice hotels, man.
It's Disney hotels. Okay. I hear they're nice.
They are.
Daily testing for coronavirus, temperature checks, fingerprint pulse stuff, all that sort of stuff.
Did they say what kind of test are they doing? The swab up your nose?
I think they are trying to do a less invasive test. Because I think the players don't want to have to do that invasive test every single day.
Yeah.
Because basically a lot of them had to go through it when this whole thing started. Remember the Utah Jazz players everyone a part of that traveling party had to get that test, and they all said how much they hated it.
Yeah, I mean from everybody that has told me that they've taken the test, it only lasts 20, 30 seconds or so, but that 20, 30 seconds is very, very uncomfortable, to say the least. And so it's not something that you'd want to have to do every day. So hopefully they figure out a way to get the same results and get the same accurate readings, but they don't have to do it in such an invasive manner.
But I think somebody in my position, I would probably be okay with it.
Yeah.
Now, if somebody who's a little bit older has to deal with a family at home, then maybe not. But I think that I would be okay with it, especially with the NBA, you're getting some pretty great access and you're going to get to do some great work.
Yeah, see, that's my thing. Like, to me, the safest place to be is going to be in one of these bubbles.
And that's
like
what Mike D'Antoni said also.
Yeah, like if you're an NFL player and they create a bubble, or you're a Major League Baseball player and they create these bubbles, that means they're just giving you guidelines to live a safe life in the midst of a pandemic. And they're doing they're taking every necessary step for you to be healthy, because you're a huge asset to each organization. And so they're going to do whatever it takes to make sure that you don't get sick. So you're going to be in the best possible scenario. You're not going to get that type of care at the crib when you're with your own family. You're policing yourselves. It's just a different ball game. So to me, there would be no way that I would not opt in. And I'm glad to hear you say the same thing.
Mike D'Antoni is 69 years old.
Yeah.
And he was asked on Wednesday, are you concerned about this? Because obviously you are part of the at-risk population. And he said, I feel better going to Orlando than I am just sitting around at home and going to the grocery store every day. I am less at risk in Orlando than I am sitting at home. So I think that's how he's looking at it. I think that's how a lot of these guys are looking at it, where at least with the NBA, it's a controlled environment for the most part. I mean, the hotel worker stuff that's going to be a tough needle to thread for them, but I imagine that they'll figure it out, at least at the beginning. Let me go through a couple others. Currently, the proposal is to test players and team personnel every other day during training camp, but player reps on Thursday's call said they would prefer daily testing.
Yeah.
Availability and access to testing is an important issue, and the league is conscious of potential backlash it could face if it has greater access to testing than the general public. So you want everyday testing?
I would want everyday testing. And to me, they should, in order to kind of rectify the situation, I think NFL teams could do a scenario where they have testing every day at their facilities, like in the parking lot, like an offsite location on their grounds, to where they're allowing free testing to go through there. Now you're not dealing with any backlash from people saying, all right, well, all these NFL players and staff have access to testing and we don't have access to testing. You can actually come up here and you can, you know, and these facilities are so huge and these stadiums are so huge that you can keep that group completely separate from the guys that are coming in, the men and women that are coming into your facility for actual ball. But there's ways around that.
Stick everyone in the yellow lot.
Just put everybody, yeah, put the body in the farthest lot away, do their testing up there, and you say, and that's actually doing a public service for your community. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you're doing a public service you're doing a service for your franchise, because everything that goes along with this, a lot of it is going to be peace of mind. Like, what can you do to create an foster environment where everyone feels like we're safe and we're okay? That's a huge proponent for guys to be able to focus in on their job and do them. You always remember that everybody in these leagues are trying to gain an edge on one another. Everybody is the best of the best. And so those that can be more comfortable in their surroundings and just focus on ball, those are going to be the ones that have the most success.
The NBA is going to give out these rings for players, which will track vital stuff, and apparently it can tell them if they are about to have symptoms. Obviously, that's a lot of personal information.
It's not the Minority Report, is it? Where it's going to tell you about to commit a crime before it actually happens?
It's the closest thing to it.
Yeah.
Now, they are saying that it would just be for the league. They would not give the information out to the teams that they gain from these rings. But how would you feel about, is that a little too getting into my personal business?
I mean,
yeah!
I feel like there's the slippery slope argument. But I don't know. I would have to think about it further to say, is that going too far or not? I can see both sides of it. I just know me personally, I would say to hell with it. Do whatever it is you got to take so that I can play. Because that's just the way my mind is wired. If you're telling me that doing it this way is going to make it safer, I'll be willing to do it that way. It's going to be safer for me and safer for everybody around me. The people that are serving me food, the people that are taping my ankles, the people that are cutting the checks, whatever it may be. I'm all for creating an environment that is safe. And so I would be for it.
So it looks like for camp, players are going to get to go home every single day.
Yeah.
Is that the right way? Are you better off being at a controlled environment in the hotel, or should you be able to go home?
I think it depends on who the guy is. And I think we talked about earlier in the show about the whole idea of fines. And if you do some reckless behavior, it will be monitored and there would be repercussions from it. I think that'll help guys stay in line. But I would much rather go home to my family every day as opposed to staying in a bubble if I had the option. You know what I mean? If you're telling me there's an option and you're going to, it's very similar to, I had this conversation, I think, yesterday with Travis, or the day before, or somebody, I can't remember. I've been on so many different shows over the past couple of days. But what I was saying is this, that under the Bill Belichick Parcells tree, they're very much micromanagers of everything you do every single day. There's a lot of busy work. There's a lot of people looking over your shoulders to make things sure you're doing things the right way. When you play under the Bill Walsh, Mike Shanahan, Kubiak, that coaching tree, it's very much hands-off. It's like being in college. They give you the syllabus. They expect you to do your work. When you come for test day, you better be ready or you're going to fail and you'll be gone. But if you are ready, you were able to do however you wanted to do it to get you to that point and get yourself prepared to play. There's a lot more trust in your ability to be a pro and do the right things. Well, what basically is going to happen now is everything is going to be like that Belichick tree, that everything is going to be micromanaged and everything is going to be under scrutiny in a bubble. I think in this case, I would be fine with it, but I would much rather have it the other way.
Real quick, does the NFL season go off without a hitch?
What do you mean by without a hitch?
We have kickoff Texans Chiefs the way it was scheduled to be. There won't be fans, or there'll be limited fans.
Right.
But we will play every game. We will play every game as scheduled on time.
I think that they will play all 16 games in the regular season in the playoffs. Will a game be moved back? Will they move the schedule back a week or two? That could happen. But all 16 regular season games and all the playoff games will be played. That's what I'll say.
All right. Sounds good. He's Wade Smith. I'm Adam Spillane. The Smitty Trap Show is coming up next. Thank you to John Boudreaux, who produced while I was here. I will be back in this spot on Tuesday and Wednesday with Cecil Short. So until then, I'm Adam Spillane saying thank you for listening. This is Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.